AFR On Demand is presented by Shabills Tire and Auto Service, home of the 125% price match guarantee on tires. 14 locations in South Louisiana. Find the location nearest you or schedule service online, shabillstire.com.
After further review with Matt Moscona, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge, and now 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Big weekend of college football ahead. As good as week one was, week two was equally as bad, but you're going to see an uptick this weekend. Guy who came on with us when we were up in Green Bay, Joe Lisi, good enough to join us again, gophorthe2.com. He's on Twitter at gophorthe2, Yahoo Sports Radio, and a bunch of different affiliations as well. Joe, thanks for the time, man. Great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Matt. Anytime. Love talking college football with you.
Well, it's our pleasure. Hey, let me just start with the local angle and LSU and what your read is on Danny Etling and what we might expect in this weekend against Mississippi State.
Well, I mean, from his days at Purdue, in my opinion, he was an inconsistent quarterback and really got beat out by David Blau, and that's why he transferred to LSU. But I really think he's got to attack this Mississippi State secondary. Mississippi State entering this ballgame is allowing 247 passing yards per game through two games. LSU is only averaging 129 yards through the air. I think they have to get Doral and Dupree involved in the offense. They have to attack on first and second down in the passing game. And I think Etling has to break out. Otherwise, it's going to be a long season for LSU this year.
Do you look at LSU as a team that can salvage the lofty expectations, that they can progressively get better heading into the end of October and into November, which is really the stretch run?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, when you play in the SEC West and you're the LSU Tigers and get top five talent each and every year, you're expected to be there at the end. So, again, this is a salvageable season, but they have to put it into gear this coming weekend with a conference game against the Bulldogs. Mississippi State's a blue-collar team. They don't have the greatest talent, but they're a blue-collar team that plays LSU very tough. LSU can't look ahead of this game, but they really have to put it into gear offensively. And in my opinion, I really think Kyron Cameron has to open up the playbook and allow Etling to attack that secondary.
16-point line, though, man. What am I missing there that LSU is a 16-point favorite over Mississippi State?
Well, I just think that from the Vegas angle, everybody's expecting LSU to really step up and really live up to the expectations. Now, Leonard Fournette comes back. Geis had a solid game last week. But again, this offensive line really has to start opening up holes. And more importantly, they have to pass protect. But when is Kyron Cameron going to be aggressive? I think that's the one thing when you look at LSU overall, they're not aggressive in their play calling. They just play right into the defensive game plan, and they really have to throw caution to the wind this weekend and attack that secondary. But I think it comes on first and second down. Can't be in third down and long situations. You have to really be aggressive and open up the playbook to allow those playmakers to get the football.
The other big game, of course, that everyone's going to be watching in the SEC is Ole Miss-Alabama. Joe, how in the world has Ole Miss managed to beat Alabama in consecutive years?
Well, I think that, number one, they didn't fear Alabama. I mean, that's the biggest thing that I look at Hugh Freeze and this team in Ole Miss is that, again, they're a blue-collar team, but they weren't defeated when they took the field against Alabama. A lot of teams that step on the field are defeated from the emotional aspect that they're playing the Alabama Crimson Tide. The one thing that Ole Miss did last year in their victory in Tuscaloosa, they scored first. It was the only time that Alabama did not score first all season long. And they won the turnover battle. They forced five turnovers on the Crimson Tide on the road, and Chad Kelly in that offense attacked Eddie Jackson in that secondary vertically. Sometimes to open up running lanes, you need to pass on first and second down to loosen up the front seven on seam routes, and that's what Ole Miss did early in that ballgame, and then they had success in the running game later in that matchup. So I think Ole Miss matches up very well against Alabama, and I think they're going to play them a very tough in the Grove in Oxford.
Yeah, they get the game at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. You think Ole Miss makes it three in a row?
I think they'll be in a striking distance, Matt. I think they might lose this game by 3 or 4 points, but I think Ole Miss is in this game from start to finish. I really feel that the X factor offensively for Ole Miss is tight end Evan Engram, how they utilize him down the seam on nickelbacks or linebackers in that matchup gives Ole Miss an advantage. And I love the way the front seven played against Dalvin Cook in Florida State. Marquise Haynes, an underrated defensive lineman that can put pressure on Jalen Hurts in that offensive line. again, I just like Ole Miss from an emotional standpoint. Hugh Freeze is a solid coach, and they don't fear Nick Saban and Alabama, and that's a big reason why I think they'll be in this ballgame.
Joe, you set me up for a hell of a transition. You didn't even recognize it, but it's like 2006 all over again. I want to talk about Florida State-Louisville. It's a top 10 matchup. I mean, I don't think anybody coming into the season would have looked at this in week three and said, that's one that you got to see because it's national championship expectations or implications. Florida State, Louisville, everyone's watching Lamar Jackson. Can he continue this pace against Florida State?
He can. I mean, he's a dynamic playmaker. He was inconsistent last year in terms of his reads and progressions. And as a factor of that, Louisville's offensive line allowed 44 sacks on the year. But this year, he's a calm, confident quarterback. He's accounted for 13 total touchdowns, 7 through the air and 6 on the ground. Louisville has the number one ranked total offense in college football. They're averaging 754 yards a game, 343 rushing yards per game, and 411 passing yards per game. Again, yeah, they can push Florida State to the limit, especially with safety Derwin James out for this ball game. But I think Florida State's a more complete team. They don't rely solely on their quarterback, DeAndre Francois. They have offensive weapons like Dalvin Cook and like their wide receiver core led by Travis Rudolph that I think will make up for any inexperience by DeAndre Francois. And I think Florida State rolls in this matchup by about 13 points. I just think they're the more complete team in this matchup.
There's another big-time ranked matchup. Like this, Joe, this weekend really does kind of rival the opening weekend when you look just at the slate of incredible games, including Ohio State going to Norman to take on Oklahoma. What do you think there, Joe? Is this a game where maybe Oklahoma gets back some of the prestige after losing that opening weekend to Houston?
Yeah, well, you look at Ohio State overall. Matt, they've won 18 straight regular season road games by 17.1 points per game. Their last road loss came in 2011 in Ann Arbor to Michigan. And you saw what Urban Meyer's done as an underdog when he's gone on the road. But now they're the favorite. I like Oklahoma in this matchup. I like quarterback Baker Mayfield. He hasn't turned the ball over. He's thrown for 5 touchdowns, no interceptions so far. I like the speed of Oklahoma on the outside and how they utilize running back Joe Mixon in the short to intermediate routes in the passing game that I think could put pressure on Ohio State's defense. And more importantly, you look at Ohio State's offense entering this matchup, a very run-heavy offense that's averaging 313 rushing yards per game. They really don't have a go-to wide receiver. Their big leading wide receiver is Samuels, who is a hybrid type of guy. He's more of a Jalen Marshall. He's not a go-to wide receiver. I think that'll play into Oklahoma's defensive scheme. I think they force the pressure on JT Barrett, and I do think Oklahoma steps up and gets a big home victory in the underdog role. I think they win this game by about 10 points.
Two more for you, Joe. And Joe Lisi's with us, GoForTheTwo.com. He's on Twitter, at GoForTheTwo. One of them, non-conference matchup up north where you got Michigan State going to Notre Dame Stadium in a matchup of ranked teams. Michigan State's been early on, Joe, for all of their national clout the last few seasons, seemingly a little quiet. Has Notre Dame, now that they've named a starting quarterback, figured things out there in South Bend?
I think they have. If you're asking me, they have to go with DeShone Kizer. He's completing 71% of his passes, but he seems confident in the system and knows where he wants to go with the football. Notre Dame has won the last three over Michigan State by 12.6 points per game. They last played in 2013. But you can't count out Michigan State and Mark D'Antonio. They have an extra week of preparation for this battle. They've only played one game, their week one matchup against Furman, and they struggled in that ballgame. But I think all things being equal, well, you look at the quarterback situation. Michigan State with Tyler O'Connor and DeShone Kizer for Notre Dame. I just like that matchup for Notre Dame. I like the speed on the perimeter. Wide receiver Torrey Hunter comes back from concussion protocol. I think they're able to stretch that Spartan secondary. That's the way you beat Michigan State last year. You had a throw over the top. I like Notre Dame's offense in that matchup, matching up against Michigan State's defense.
Last one for you, Joe, and this one maybe is sort of off people's radar a little bit, but I'm intrigued by it because I think that this could be the one that opens the door for Washington to be considered the preeminent team in the Pac-12. I'm talking about USC at Stanford. When we talked 2 weeks ago, you were pretty high on the Trojans' skill guys and their talent. You think Southern Cal's got a chance of going to the farm and beating Stanford?
I think they do. Again, I mean, I was high on them, but after that week one performance against Alabama where they had the lead and then just crumbled once Alabama took the lead, it's an emotional standpoint from this team. When are they going to step up in a big game? You look at their two games against Stanford last year, they got dominated in terms of run support, gave up way too many yards to Christian McCaffrey. That defensive line's going to have to step up. But again, I still like their speed on the perimeter. And Stanford, again, I'm not sold on this team. They have three new offensive linemen that are in that offensive line. Didn't like the way they played week number one against Kansas State. So yeah, as an underdog, I like USC in that matchup, and I think they can challenge Stanford and put the pressure on Christian McCaffrey and that offense to respond, but they need to score first. But I like USC in that matchup.
Joe, any other game we haven't talked about that you're really intrigued by this weekend?
Yeah, there's two. I like Texas A&M over Auburn. I really think Texas A&M, Matt, before the year started, was my sleeper in the SEC West. I like the way Trevor Knight has played within the system. He's completed 54% of his passes, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I love that wide receiver core going up against Auburn's secondary that's allowed 254 passing yards per game, and Texas A&M has only allowed 78 rushing yards on the ground. I think they make Sean White one-dimensional, and I think Texas A&M has a convincing road win this Saturday on the Plains in Auburn. And the other one is UCLA and Josh Rosen going on the road in Provo against BYU. BYU lost last week 20-19. They got stopped on a 2-point conversion in a rivalry game with no time left on the clock. They now have to come back home. Two of their secondary players are out for the first half of this matchup because of targeting. So I think UCLA and the speed of their offense with Josh Rosen attacks their secondary. I look for an emotional letdown by the Cougars in this matchup. I look for Rosen to break out and UCLA to get a dominating road win over the Cougars on Saturday night.
Y'all follow him on Twitter at GoForTheTwo, online at GoForTheTwo.com, and on Saturdays he's on Yahoo Sports Radio Coast to Coast talking college football. Joe, it's always great to have you, man. Thanks so much for the time.
Anytime, Matt. Love the show.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you. Good stuff there from Joe Lisi. Again, at GoForTheTwo if you want to follow him on Twitter, and GoForTheTwo.com. Dude's comprehensive, man, when you talk about college football. Thanks to Carly. She's the one who first turned me on to Joe and his work, and it's he's comprehensive. We had him on before the Wisconsin game, and I got tons of positive feedback, so I was like, man, let's have that guy back, and glad we did.